Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the early 30s, on the occasion of the graduation of the theological students of the Ohio Synod at Capital University, Dr. Richard C.H. Lenski, the author of the well-known New Testament commentary, was the speaker. And he used the occasion to make fun of the Missouri Synod's understanding of this passage. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Missouri had always maintained that means all men. Christ reconciled all men to God. All you have to go out, you just be an ambassador and tell people about this. And Lenski, like a typical Ohio Synod theologian, said, oh, no. That means God was reconciled to the believers in successive generations. Because he said, this reconciliation happens only when you add faith. Well, now listen, it would make more sense to say that the word world in John 3:16 means only believers because the word faith is there used. It's not used in 2 Corinthians 5:19. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth, according to that argument, world means believers in successive generations, and that's exactly what Calvinism said. Now, if Lenski was right, then in the verses preceding, according to his explanation, let me explain verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. The all means only believers. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. That means only believers. And he said about Romans 5, where Romans 5:19, which plainly says that just as in Adam, sin and death passed upon all, so in Christ, just as condemnation passed upon eis pantas anthropos, upon all men, so in Christ justification and life passed eis pantas anthropos. Now, Lenski says, no, that's not true until you have faith. Now, let me parody this argument just a little bit. Supposing I'd say to my wife, I have faith, I have confidence in your potentiality to be a good wife. She would say, you got to be kidding or you're not going to get any supper. It's funny, isn't it? But that's just how serious this thing is. It curtails the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't use Lenski's commentary anymore. I've known this, what I've told you, since I started to the SEM in 1940, and it came to me as a cold dash of water when I learned in class from Dr. Arndt, who was a contemporary of Lenski, that we should use Lenski's commentary. A lot of good stuff in it, but that he either had a blind spot here or was beholden to his mentor, Dr. Stellhorn, in the Ohio Synod. Now, just let me talk about that a little bit. In the latter part of the 19th century, there was a fierce controversy between Missouri on the one hand and Ohio, Norwegian, and Iowa on the other on this very point. They said Christ did not reconcile all men to God. Justification is not an actuality for all men, it's only a potential, that you have to have faith first. Well, did you ever hear, just on the level of reason, can you believe in something that hasn't happened? That's ridiculous. No. Faith is always caused by its object. It's as simple as that. You say, I have confidence in so-and-so. Well, who created that confidence? The person in whom you believe. Now, if he's only potentially good, it can't be faith. I mean, even on the level of reason, it's ridiculous. Now, our fathers, that is Walther, Stuckart, Pieper, and Theodor Engler did not flinch. When Lenski preached this sermon, Dr. Engler wrote a series of three articles in the CTM, and they are on sale in the bookstore. You go read them yourself. They were published in 1981 when this ugly heresy raised its head again in Missouri. As to Engler ably answered Lenski's arguments, which were just a regurgitation of the controversy that took place between the three synods on the one hand and Missouri on the other hand 25 years ago. And he says, I can't understand why Lenski brings this up now, unless he just wants to make a joke of the Missouri Synod. Now, it is no accident that those three synods are in Elka. And if Missouri hadn't have stood stalwart at that time, do you know where we'd be today? They took Paul seriously. If any man preach a gospel which is different from what I preach, and if it be an angel from heaven or Lenski, makes no difference. Let him be anathema. And if it's me, Paul said, if it's me. About 6 years ago, one of our students who was on vicarage, on New Year's Day, we had just had a nice dinner and we were going to settle down to watching football on TV, and one of our vicars called me. He had preached a sermon that morning on objective justification. And after the service, one of the elders took him to task, and he said, that's heresy of what you preached. And he said, let's go talk to the pastor. When they did, the pastor backed up the elder. That's what was going on at that time. This thing, my generation did not settle this thing, and it's one of the gripes I have. We swept it under the rug. It's still out there. Well, I tried to comfort this student. I said, that's life, buddy. You stick to the truth and do like Paul in Galatians. You don't water down your doctrine because of what other people. Now, why is it that nowadays when you bring up this subject in a group of Missouri Synod pastors, you get the quiet treatment? One will say, listen, I don't want to talk about this thing because I don't want to lose my job. Another one will say, well, oh, it was just semantic. Listen, semantic problems don't last. I mean, they just dribble away and they don't bother anybody. It was an issue. I'll tell you how you can test yourself whether you believe the real gospel. You try this once. You ought to be able to preach the gospel in such a way that you don't even use the word faith. It's like offering a thirsty person a cold drink of water on a hot summer's day. You don't have to tell him to believe. Please believe that I'm offering this to you. What? He said, what's the matter with you? I mean, all you do is just hold it out and he'll grab it. Or you offer a poor beggar a $100 bill and you just say, this is yours. You know what he'll do. You ought to be able to, after you've preached the law, the hammer of the law, and made a man see his sins, and then just tell him what Christ did to him, whether it be reconciliation, justification, atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ, or John the Baptist's message, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All you have to do is just offer it to him. I've heard people say, well, it's too late now. Supposing Jesus would have told the malefactor on the cross that, oh, it's too late. You've lived a life of sin. No hope for you, buddy. No, it's never too late. So, I've lived my life, and I tried. I mean, I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm guilty of a lot of sins, but I hope that we stand solidly again on the article of justification, so that there is no fear among us as to what justification really is, but that we jubilantly shout it from the housetops. There is no greater message. And now may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.